Welcome to everyone that's joined us since we started, and a particular welcome to any newcomers or visitors to the meeting this evening. We hope you hear something in the meeting that encourages you to keep coming back. And I believe Jay might have someone to speak for us, so I'm going to hand you over to Jay. Jay.
I'm an addict. My name is Jay.
Hello,
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Jay.
For those that were in the Wednesday meeting, loving our long-timers, get ready to go again. When we leave it up to nobody, we don't have a speaker. And since we don't have a speaker selected, I made a couple of inquiries really quick. I am an addict. My name is Jay.
Hi, Jay. And,
Hi, Jay.
There was somebody, I will preface this real quick. On Wednesday afternoon, somebody called me and said, it's been 3.5 years since you've shared. Would you please share for us tonight? And I don't say no when this program asks. At least today. There have been times in my recovery I have. And that was probably not the best thing to do at those times. But I thought life was more important. So because neither of us really looked and neither of us communicated about a speaker, and Steve was so kind as to share recently, I can't ask him to share again. And it's been a while since I've shared here. Here it goes. I started using very young. I used whatever I could. Starting out with alcohol and tobacco, then marijuana, and anything else that came along. I used as often as I could, as much as I could, for as long as I could. Life was all about the drugs. I knew I was an addict way before I wound up in this program. Didn't have any qualms with it. I figured I was going to die an addict, and I will, hopefully clean, a long, long time from now. But I looked at what I was doing and how it made me felt, how it made me feel, and the fact that I could get out of my own head by doing drugs as that was heaven. And I was going to do this as long as I could, and I figured I'd be dead by 30. I mean, that was not a hard thing to work out in my head. I mean, that was my job. I held other jobs, but my main job was dealing drugs up until the time I stopped using. I was good at it most of the time, except for the fact that it gave me an unlimited supply of whatever I was dealing. If I was dealing marijuana, I made lots of money. If I was dealing other things, I didn't make as much. I wound up, this is going on in my teens. And 4 high schools in 4 years.
wound up in a psychiatric hospital my junior year of high school. Jackpots left, right, and center. I was already carrying weapons of destruction. Always carried weapons of destruction. The psychiatric institute that I wound up in, and that was after seeing a psychiatrist for years, people telling me that I had two personalities, probably did. The psychiatric hospital that I wound up in didn't have a problem with us doing drugs on pass. Don't do drugs on property, but they didn't have a problem with doing drugs on pass. So I didn't do drugs on property. After a couple of months, I was going home on a regular basis, and I would go back and see all my old friends, or the ones that were left. See, the reason I wound up in a psychiatric institute is because I almost killed somebody, or wanted to. I didn't. I got put away by friends. I was already out of my parents' house for the first time. I got through the institute. My parents were getting ready to move to Vermont. I am from Florida. I have lived up and down. I've lived all over the country that I come from, but from Florida, wound up in Jersey, then wound up in Connecticut, started using in Jersey, used all through Connecticut, and on my way, when I was getting out of the hospital, my parents were leaving for Vermont within a week or two. And I used the whole time I was in Vermont until I got clean. I wrecked my truck the night before, or a couple of days before we were leaving for Vermont, for the fender ride off it. Don't remember what I hit. Hit something, hit it good. It was a 1966 Dodge pickup. Solid metal. Fender was gone and the front frame was bent back almost to the tire. And I really didn't think there was a problem with that. I mean, I got all kinds of shit from my dad the whole time, the four and a half hour ride to Vermont. Within 24 hours of getting to that town, I knew where all the drugs were. I knew where the liquor store was. I had was just turning 18. Turned 18. Figured out that I really didn't need to go to school the last semester. Set it up to, I was out of school by noon. I would go to the liquor store and get a pint and wait for people to get out of school because I was on, that was my work. I was on work study. And I signed all the notes because I was a legal adult. And that pint would be gone and the 2 hours between getting out of school, and then I'd go get another one, and we'd go use. I mean, it didn't matter what it was, as long as I could change my head. Doctors, I mean, it was late 70s, and I was hitting doctors. We were doing all kinds of crazy stuff. We were getting cough syrup. We were getting Dilaudids. We were getting Demerol. We were getting Percodans. I mean, and everything was getting booted and shooted. And it was like, okay, craziness. And I thought that life was good. And this is a town of 6,000 people. The reality of it is you couldn't, I couldn't blow my nose on one end of town and go home without my parents already knowing about it. And my mom at one point sat me down at the end of my addiction. I was in college. My senior year, right there. I had graduated from high school, went to college because I didn't want to work and I could do drugs and go to school. And I was in college to be I was a psych major. And the college I was at was one of the drug stops between Montreal and the rest coming down the 91. And it had a good reputation. Did a lot of partying. And at the end, during that first semester of my senior year, something started to change. Maybe I knew I was, I mean, just, I don't know what happened, but I started talking about my disease. And I didn't know it was a disease. I just started talking about what I was doing we were in a peer counseling class, and I just started talking about what I was doing and didn't know if I wanted to do it anymore. I mean, maybe I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired, but not really. It was just, I mean, it was getting old. Maybe I needed to take a break. Maybe this was an easy way to get an A in the class. Who knows? I mean, we had to do peer counseling. What else am I going to talk about? All I was doing drugs as much as I could, as often as I could, for as long as I could. If I was upright, I was high. At this point, I mean, the walls were caving in, and the reality of it is my parents were ready to throw me out because I had gotten that bad. I was living in their basement, and I would throw keg parties in their basement, and I would be getting high in their basement, and they were done. And they gave me an ultimatum. And the ultimatum was clean yourself up or we're going to give you a vehicle, $1,000, and we never want to see you again. We don't care where you go. Do not contact us. I mean, I had put my parents and my family through hell. And I thought it was all right. I mean, for years. I mean, I'm surprised looking back on it that they put up with it for as long as they did. I did some footwork, and the footwork was not to go get clean. The footwork was to try to fix the situations, because that's all I ever did. I went to mental health in the town. I talked to them. They told me about a place 120 miles south. I called the place. They said it would probably be 3 weeks to a month. This was in the beginning of December. Like a week later, they called me up and said, we have a bed. Or then in less than 2 weeks, they called me up and said, we have a bed. You need to be down here in a couple of days. And I was like, oh, what? Huh? I thought I was going to make it through Christmas and it'd be after the first of the year. I didn't have a choice. I had to go. And it wasn't my choice. It was, you're going. You have a bed. They have a bed. You're gone. And that was my mom. And I went. And I got high before I got in the car. I had told my parents I was clean or that I wasn't using, and that was a lie. My mom sat in on my intake. And I had timed, I knew how long it would be before I started to get sick. She left, and I'd say, after she left, I sat down with the people that did the intake and said, now let me tell you what's going on. And they waited a couple, they waited. After I told them what was going on, they waited to see if what I told them was going to happen. And guess what? It did. I started to get sick. And it was like, so they detoxed me. 2 weeks. They gave me methadone and I was off of it in 2 weeks. And I wound up in that treatment center the 15th of December and I was clean by the 30th. And no intention of staying clean. Gonna get healthy, gonna do this, go back out and use. I got things to do, make some more money. Something happened in that treatment center. Something stepped in. I met people, I talked to people, I met a man who told me he would be my sponsor. And when he told me that, I said, okay. I started to work steps. I listened to what they said. I read the literature. And the literature wasn't Narcotics Anonymous. But my sponsor was an addict. And that made it easier. There weren't that many addicts in treatment when I got clean. I was one of two in the treatment center. Everybody else was alcoholics. I went to meetings as often as they would take me. I talked to my sponsor all the time. He had gone through that treatment center. He had access into it. His sponsor was my counselor. My counselor had 25 years in the program. I remember her telling me that. I looked at her like she had six heads. I turned 21 in treatment. And that's why I looked at her with six heads. I went to meetings. I did a 30-day treatment program in 60 days because I'm a little slow. I listened to what they said when they told me not to go home. Don't go back to St. Johnsbury, Vermont. Stay here, go to a halfway house, go to meetings, we'll see what happens. I did all the things they told me to do. Something changed. For the first time in my life, I didn't want to use. Didn't know if I could not use, but didn't want to use. I saw something that I had not seen in years. That's probably the first time I picked up a drug. I I got thrown out of the halfway house within 30 days because I was going to too many meetings. And it wasn't a halfway house the way we think of halfway houses now. It was a boarding house for drunks. Give them your money, go to a couple of meetings, you'll be fine. As long as the woman who owned the house got her money, she didn't care. She was in the program. You see that? You used to see that all the time back in the day. You still see it every once in a while now. It's getting tougher to do that. I loaded up my truck. I was going home. The problem that I had is I stopped at my sponsor's house to say goodbye. See you later. Thank you for everything you've done. I'm going back to St. Johnsbury. He looked at me and said, no, you're not. You'll stay here until we find your place to live. And again, I listened to somebody else. I didn't go home. I stayed on his couch. We found me a place to live, a little campground about 30 miles from where he was living. He wound up moving into the campground a couple of months later. My next door neighbor had 3 years in the program. I was living in the woods. I had electricity. The snow was still on the ground. It was coming in the springtime. And I lead a charmed life when I look at it. Because the right people were there at the right time to allow me to find recovery and to be able to work the steps. My rent was $45 a month. It was easy to do that. I was getting food stamps. Didn't cost that much. I mean, I would get up in the morning and I would go over to my neighbor's house if he wasn't working, and he worked a couple, 3-4 days a week. And didn't do a lot of work in the winter because he was a concrete guy. So it was like, okay. And we sit down and talk about recovery. And it was, I mean, it was just a neat time. And I worked the steps, and I worked a step with my sponsor. I did a fourth step. I did a fifth step. I got into the sixth step. I got into the seventh step. I mean, I worked the steps out of the step book. And it was like, I was feeling better. The longer I stayed clean, the better I felt. I did that for 6 months. I bought a trailer. I was going to move the trailer south. Things changed. Winter started to come in. My parents decided to go to Florida to see my grandparents for Christmas. I came down to Florida with them. My first Christmas clean. My anniversary. I went to meetings. I met people in the meetings. There were some young people running around. Somebody said to me, do you want to go to a meeting down the street after this one for drug addicts? I looked at them and said, yes. Went to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, picked up my medallion. Not at that meeting, but at another meeting. Told them that I had a year clean. Decided to move back to Florida. Set it up that I could move back to Florida. My dad talked to somebody, got me a job with somebody that he knew. And I was back in 6 weeks. Went to meeting. Got involved with both fellowships, with the young people that were there. Got asked after a while, and a while being another year, to stop sharing what I was sharing in meetings because I was sharing about my life and the town I live in and the area I live in Florida. The joke is newlywed and nearly dead. A lot of retirees and a lot of people in the program or in the other fellowship had prescriptions. And as long as you had prescriptions, they thought that was all right for what they were taking. And I was talking about being a prescription junkie because I had prescriptions. I mean, I had the con down good, and I was hitting lots of doctors back before people really knew what doctor shopping was. But by that point, I was already, I mean, the gray book had come out. We had started a whole bunch of meetings. Because when I got here, there was two meetings a week. One, the one that I went to, and then one that I didn't even know about until months later. And we just started to start meetings. And we were putting meetings wherever we could. The first meeting I went to wasn't even in a facility. It was on somebody's porch. And we started meetings, and at between, well, I have a 2-year medallion from AA, and that's the last one that I have. That's the last one I picked up. After I picked up my 2-year medallion at that point, sometime probably within the next couple of months, I made a decision that I was going to stop going to the other fellowship and just go to NA. And people looked at me like I had 6 heads. You can't stay clean. You can't stay clean in that fellowship. There's no clean up. There wasn't a lot of clean time. I'm an old dog. I was an old dog when I walked in the doors at a year clean, my first meeting. I was an old dog at 2 years clean when I made, or 2.5 years clean when I made that decision in the area I live. We did a lot of neat things. We went to conventions. We went looking for people. We found out. I talked to California on a regular basis. We heard about conventions. We formed a region. We started to travel to other places. We would drive hundreds of miles to go to meetings, to go to dances. I don't know if we drive hundreds of miles to go to meetings, but we drive hundreds of miles for the weekend to go to a dance and hang out with other people in the program. We were in our 20s. It really didn't matter. Who needs sleep? I got involved in this fellowship up to my eyeballs. My first sponsor had died. He died of this disease. They found him in a closet in Massachusetts with a spike in his arm. I found another sponsor. I found another sponsor. And that sponsor had 6 more months clean time than I did. And we worked the steps together. I talked to him about service. I talked to him about life. He knew me pretty well. Actually, he knew me really well. And he was my sponsor for 34 years. He passed in December. And I miss him. I talk to him on a regular basis. But he doesn't answer back the way he used to. I still talk to my first sponsor. He's definitely my first sponsor. Definitely helped carry me through some of the shit that I went through in my recovery. I went to meetings on a regular basis because that's what I was taught for 20 plus years. I wound up working up and down the service structure. I was the treasurer for the World Convention the first World Convention in Orlando. I was asked to step down because they said I didn't live in the state of Florida. And that incident really changed how I felt about service to this fellowship. And I talked to my sponsor about it, and it was like, okay. He said to me that this program isn't here to hinder you in your life. This program is here to teach you how to live life outside of the program. Because my life was the program. It was work in the program. I went to that convention for about 4 hours. I drove down from Savannah. I was working in Savannah, but I was living in Florida. I drove down to Orlando. I stayed for 4 hours, and then I drove back to Savannah. And that was the last World Convention I went to for a long, long time. And it was the last time I did a lot of things in Florida. I wound up working around the country for a while, and I went to meetings, and I got involved wherever I went in service and met people. I was in Georgia, I was in Connecticut, I went out to Texas, I went to meetings on a regular basis every day, or pretty close. And life was good. Got to hang out with lots of people. Got to know lots of people around the country. Went to conventions, went to concerts. Lived life to the fullest. And asked to come home. Go to work for the family business. And said yes, took a big pay cut, came back to Clearwater, and didn't go to meetings. Got too busy with life and work, bought a house, still live in that house today. Got engaged to be married for the first time. The insanity of that one, that was insane. Made my home group at some point a Florida convention, and then missed my home group. And just stopped going to meetings. Didn't stop talking to people, just stopped going to meetings. Went through some real insanity during that time. Got arrested for having cocaine or crack cocaine in my house because my second fiance went back out the door. And wound up doing drug court. Did drug court standing on my head because really didn't really want to use. I mean, I can piss in a cup. It was just a pain in the ass. went back to meetings for a while, wound up doing all kinds of things. Stopped going to meetings again, lived with somebody in the program. The house was full of program people. She would drag me to meetings every once in a while. And then one day they asked me to go to a meeting. And it was just like a light switch turning on. Went to that meeting. And bang, I was back going to meetings. And here we are. A week later, my mom dies. Didn't think about anything but going to meetings and helping my dad do that. That will be 7 years ago in August. Have been going to meetings ever since. Found these meetings 6 years ago. And have been doing online meetings ever since. Something came up in my Facebook page yesterday. My dad moved to Costa Rica 2 years ago. It's hard to believe it's been 2 years. And there was a video that came up, and it shows us driving up from town. Because I was down there 2 years ago at this point. And it's like, wow, time flies. And he's happy, I'm happy. We all do what we need to do. I miss him because our relationship has changed since my mom passed. The thing I've learned, and I will shut up because I know I've been talking. The thing I've learned in this program that I need to go to meetings. That no matter how long I stay clean, I will always have this disease. Because the drugs are just a symptom of the disease. It's what's in between my ears and how I think and how I react. That the 12 steps and the traditions and the principles behind the spiritual fellowship work on me. It is the steps, it is the traditions, and if I'm not applying them to my life on a daily basis, I'm not in a good spot. And I go back to my first sponsor when I asked him how often will I have to go to these meetings and for how long. He just looked at me and said, how often did you use? And I gave him my answer. And he said, every day then. And the thing I've learned this time, and I've been back at meetings coming up on 7 years, is that I'm much better off when I'm doing at least a meeting a day. Our book doesn't say that. It says go to meetings regularly. Whatever is regular for you, only you can tell. I know what's regular for me, and that's daily. Maybe two, maybe more, but at least one. And that's the reality of it. And the reality of it is I was a hope-to-die dope fiend. And today, I'm a recovering addict. Who has a lot of life left to enjoy and experience because this program has given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. And based on what I've seen so far, I can't imagine what's going to happen going down the road. Because I never thought I would do the things that I've done. And I don't go looking for things. I just let them happen on a daily basis. So I thank you all for being here. Have a great day, a great night, a great evening. Thank you.